From the CBS studios in San Francisco, I'm Brian Hackney.
And I'm Juliette Goodrich. We begin tonight with the long-awaited return of the Pride Parade. It was nice, but it was also a little strange to see these big crowds back in the city lining Market Street, thousands of people out early to get a good spot and soak in the atmosphere that has been missing for the last 2 years.
Yeah, those are just some of the colorful entertainers who showed off their pride at the parade today. Even some proud pooches walked the route. Some folks came to see it all, offering messages of love, support, and even free mom hugs.
I've been told by a lot of people who have given me the hugs that their own mothers won't hug them, which I just think is horrifying. I can't even imagine. When my girls came out, I was like, you're still the same person. You're not any different.
At the same time, many felt that it was important to speak against the controversial Supreme Court ruling restricting access to abortions.
This is our future. Like, whatever happens now, it's going to affect us and, like, millions of other Americans. And I think, you know, getting out here today and, you know, hopefully for the rest of our lives will only bring change.
A small group of police officers marched in today's parade, some in uniform and some in plain clothes. After weeks of debate between pride organizers and local government leaders about whether uniformed officers should take part, a compromise was made which let LGBTQ officers take part. And it wasn't just officers. All first responders marched together as one.
I think it's super important, and I'm happy to be here and represent for Oakland Police.
There was another Pride parade today where hundreds of people came out to honor the original Pride movement. KPX5's John Ramos has more.
Even as San Francisco's Pride parade was returning in all of its glory, across town there was a smaller event meant to honor the spirit of the original Pride movement. We're used to seeing the Pride parade celebrated on Market Street, but in 1970, 1 year after the Stonewall riots, it all began as an angry protest march along Polk Street. Today, several hundred people took part in the People's March, an event founded by Juanita Moore and Alex Yuen during the pandemic following the murder of George Floyd.
This is how it started. And we knew we had to, of course, get back in the streets and protest. And we decided to do it here on Polk Street, where the first gay liberation parade was.
They hold the People's March at the same time as the Pride Parade to offer an alternative for those who prefer the harder edge of protest over the happy vibe of a street party.
And you see all these people do not participate in the other parade. It's because it's a parade, it's not a march. And Pride is a protest. I think the parade has lost their way. They started out with good intention, and that was to emulate the gay liberation movement. Then money changes people left and right.
Many of the marchers object to the rise of corporate participation in the Pride Parade, which they see as insincere.
I think corporations are just putting kind of lipstick on a pig where they're going to march and they don't quite follow up with the due diligence of equality and raise all people up.
Today's march was led by people of color, acknowledging those who don't feel included, just as the gay liberation protesters did on Polk Street 50 years ago.
They have completely forgot about this event and this historical pathway. And marching brings a reminder that folks who fought for this in 1968 and long before then, we're suffering the exact same things, a reason why we're marching today.
Things are happening that have many gay and non-gay people concerned about the future. Those who march down Polk rather than Market Street today think the last thing that's needed right now is a joyful celebration.
They've lost their way, totally. And we're hoping to bring it back to neutral and reset and really have this, the People's March, be for the people.
In San Francisco, John Ramos, KPIX 5.
About 200 people took part in that march, which traced the original route down Polk Street and ended at Dolores Park.
And there were similar scenes taking place across the country today, and these are just a few of the parades we saw this morning, taking the opportunity to express their true selves after 2 years of virtual celebrations. Of course, at those parades and the one here, the Supreme Court's decision on Roe v. Wade couldn't be ignored, with politics on the minds of many of the marchers. Ann Makovic has the story from the parade route.
It has certainly been a variety of messages in here. And of course, we have the political content since we heard from the Supreme Court about the right to have an abortion. We've been seeing a lot of signs and a lot of chants dealing with that. And a lot of rainbow colors, as you're seeing here as well. This is what it is all about. There is love here. There is pride. And as we've also been talking about, a lot of political messages on the parade route today, from women's rights to gun control messages. We've seen some politicians. We got Scott Wiener coming here. He's certainly had a lot of moves on all of the political subjects that I was just mentioning, which are very popular here with this crowd. So he's getting the applause. But as I said, everybody's getting the applause because that is the good vibes that we have here at the parade. So I'm going to throw it back to you guys.
On the other side, while thousands are protesting the Supreme Court's decision, others are celebrating. KPX 5 Sean Chitna spoke to some of them about the end of a decades-long mission.
Local religious leaders say they are grateful for the Supreme Court's decision, never expecting to see Roe versus Wade overturned. But they also admit that here in California, their work is only just beginning if they want to stop abortions from happening in this state. A weekend of reflection for different religious communities around the Bay Area. Those opposed to abortion rights say their faith has been strengthened by Friday's historic decision.
We still have ways to go, and so we're also coming together to pray and ask God that He would show favor towards us and that we can begin the work of changing the culture, even here in a liberal state like California.
Last week, Silicon Valley Reformed Baptist Church gathered to celebrate. Like their leader, pastors at some other churches hope for an end to all abortions, but were unsure they would live to see Roe versus Wade overturned.
There's always a residue of faith to believe that God can do things that we don't see possible. Humanly speaking, I didn't think it would take place.
The lead pastor at Celebration Church in Livermore hopes he can engage those who support abortion rights as the debate will likely intensify in his home state.
Our position has to be what we see as our core values. You know, you can disagree with people without being disagreeable.
For the California Catholic Conference, it's a time for joy, but they also want to show support toward women who struggle with getting an abortion.
It is difficult to raise a family in California, but it's not impossible, and we're here to help.
Focusing their response on a potential state constitutional amendment on abortion rights in the near future. Their approach remains the same, though, in hopes to change minds among the majority in California.
The work that we've been doing has been bearing fruit and has been, in fact, successful.
Sean Chitness, KPIX 5.
According to the most recent CBS poll, most Americans disapprove of the Supreme Court's decision, with 59% of U.S. adults against it and 41% approving it. Among women, 2 out of 3 disapproved.
San Francisco police are asking for your help in identifying a suspect who sexually assaulted a woman near Balboa High School. The attack happened 2 weeks ago, just after 6:30 in the morning on Cayuga Avenue. Investigators say a man attacked a 20-year-old woman, forced her to the ground, and then sexually assaulted her. Now, here is a picture of the suspect. He's actually described as being 5 feet tall, wearing an orange hoodie and dark pants, and police say the victim fought off the man before he ran off. If you have any information, you are urged to contact police.
Another sexual assault to tell you about, this one happening in downtown Redwood City on Bay Road. San Mateo County investigators say at about 2 o'clock this morning, a man exposed himself and then attacked and robbed a woman as she walked home. The suspect described as a 5'6" tall Hispanic man in his 20s. And 3 people have died after their car was hit by a train in Brentwood. East Contra Costa fire officials say there were 5 people in the car, including 1 child who suffered serious injuries along with an adult. The other 3 adults were pronounced dead at the scene. Investigators say the train crossing didn't have either lights or crossing guards.
And now onto our fire watch. Santa Rosa investigators say this brush fire was started by workers grinding metal at a trucking yard. It happened around 11:30 yesterday morning near Dutton Avenue and Highway 12. Crews safely contained the fire and put it out. Now, we also are monitoring this vegetation fire. It's burning in Albany. It's right near Highway 80. And over the last few hours, fire officials have actually issued evacuation orders for people living in the Gateview, Hillside, and Taft Street areas. Fire crews from Albany, Berkeley, and El Cerrito are all fighting this blaze. And onto a house fire, we're monitoring this one. It's burning in San Francisco. It's video that was shot near the corner of Geary and Van Ness Avenue. It was just a few hours ago. You can see all of the smoke. It's billowing out of the upper floor of the apartment. Now, they are currently investigating what started the fire. Fortunately, no injuries have been reported, but four people have been displaced.
I'll be back at 11 o'clock tonight. Until then, we'll see you and stay tuned.